Second hour on this Monday, head coach Mike Vrabel is talking, and what you're about to hear is sponsored by Tire Man. Tire Man, for all your company tire needs, construction equipment, or fleet maintenance, give them a call, 615-663-6040. Here's Mike Vrabel.
Talk about around here is just focusing on this week, focusing on how we can improve, use this couple extra days to, get healthy, to do a little bit of work today, to condition and to work out and to meet and then start our preparation on Miami.
Buck?
Yeah, Mike, with Miami, what's kind of stood out about the way that they've turned their season around after seven straight losses and now seven straight wins?
Well, I mean, I think that in these last couple games, when they've won, that starting with the Houston game, but they've taken care of the football. They've created a bunch of turnovers during that stretch. And I know that they went back and forth with Houston in the one game that they had to start this streak. And I know Brian, and I know that the consistency in which he preaches, and it looks like that's obviously starting to pay off now. They're not opposed to playing close games. Very multiple, both sides of the football, it'll be like it always is for us, trying to take care of the football. They've caused probably 12 or 13 turnovers the last 6 weeks.
Jim Watt.
Hey, Mike, I've got a question on Bud Dupree. Just how much of a difference he makes when he's in there? What have you seen from him since he's been back last couple of games?
He's factored in some plays, and I think that there's a lot of things that he's going to have to continue to improve on. Bud's missed a lot of individual time, and I believe and know that that's critical. And, but he's playing with a speed, and he's chasing, and hopefully he can continue to help us and learn and study the opponent each week.
Terry?
Mike, what has Tua been doing? I think he has the highest completion percentage of any quarterback in the league. What's he been doing to accomplish that? And is there any difference that you have – any adjustments you have to make when you face a left-handed quarterback that as opposed to seeing right-handers all the time?
I mean, I think you'll have to – probably on some of the RPOs where they're going with it, or some of the throws that normally a right-handed quarterback would make, that they're trying to maybe do things, a little differently. His accuracy is come down to him being very decisive with the football, getting it out of his hand, but being, knowing where he wants to go with it. As far as, the left-handed quarterback, you may – there's going to be a change as far as matching the hand and, what we try to teach with the pass rushers or those guys that are blitzing is trying to be good, matching the quarterback's throwing hand. That will be certainly something that we'll have to practice.
Paul.
Hey, Mike, sorry about that military bowl. How much do you credit Shane with the way he's evolved this year, maybe with additional responsibilities for all of the things that have gotten better with the defense?
I think it's like it always is, Paul. It's a group effort. It's the coaching that comes together with a common goal, that when they leave that room, everybody is on board to teach the same things and install the same things. I think that it is a testament to the players, like it always is. But, I think that each week we try to do everything we can to give our players a great opportunity to know what to do going into the game. And, I like the way that the staff is working together, and Shane, coordinates all that.
Teron.
Hey, what's up, Coach? Todd Downing, he has said a couple weeks ago that the numbers don't necessarily define the season that Ryan Tannehill has had. So my question to you is, A, do you agree with that? And B, in what way can you define the season that he's had so far?
Well, I think that our focus is on the Dolphins. I love Ryan. I love who he is. I love his toughness. I think we can all look back to Thursday night and see that when there's a clean pocket, he made some really good throws. And, you know, it starts there. It starts in protection. It starts in giving him a pocket to stand up, stand in and step up and deliver passes. I think that that was evident. So it is a group effort. And you know, there's some things that Ryan has to improve on and that we're going to continue to coach him on. But his toughness is second to none. I know that being a professional quarterback is it requires a level of toughness. And I'm not going to say that our guys aren't tough, but you know, I know that Ryan has a very high ability to stand in there and not flinch. And when he takes off and runs, you know, he helps us out.
Corey?
Mike, you got another good tight end you're going to face this week in Gesicki, but you've been really strong against Kittle and Kelsey this year. What's been your key to limiting those guys so far?
Corey, if that's a jinx, I'm going to be done with you, Corey, if that's a jinx.
You wouldn't be the first.
You know, I actually have gone, you know, I mean, you know, Mike, we recruited when I was at Ohio State. I remember going and seeing him in high school. And, you know, I know that he's battled through some injuries. And he's really turned into a really nice player, very athletic, very long. And, you know, sometimes these tight ends are all different. And he runs the entire route tree. And he's very, very fluid mover, very easy mover. His catch radius is probably the second to none in the NFL as far as, you know, some of these passes that look like they're going to be overthrown. He continues to run or take another step and reach up and make a play. Seems like he's got a very good relationship with the quarterbacks, and they trust him. So as far as defending him, I mean, I think that will, you know, always – change based on the call or basic, you know, what we're going to do as far as a game plan. But you know, he has certainly, you know, been a very good target for him.
Buck?
Yeah, to that end, Mike, I mean, how well, when Dane Cruikshank's been able to be out there, how well has he done with the tight ends?
He has really accepted that challenge, and it's, you know, it's always good to see guys when you give them a role and it's a might seem like a small role or a role on third down, but you know, he has done well. You know, I'm sure that when those things happen that Dane will get more opportunities. I think that one of his better plays in the game was when they ran it on third down in the fringe area, that Dane came over, read it, tracked his guy and really made a great tackle, you know, a good physical tackle. He stayed on his feet, wrapped up, ran his feet on contact, and you know, showed the team that this morning as an example of how we want to tackle. And, you know, I know that Dane had been working on some of those things.
Teresa?
Mike, yesterday was the first day since I think last Tuesday you didn't put an offensive lineman on the reserve COVID list. How is that group looking at this moment and with the new protocols? Any chance that any of those linemen could be back on Sunday?
We're dealing with it like everybody else is, Teresa, trying to do what's best for the player and make sure that their health and safety is monitored and taken care of and that their family's health and safety is taken care of. And I would say that, you know, we're hopeful that we get some of those guys back.
Corey?
Mike, I know it seemed like forever for the bye to get here, but I mean, having the bye this late followed now by the mini bye with 2 weeks to go in a way, is it going to be beneficial for you heading into January?
Well, only if we take advantage of it, Corey, you know, only if we take advantage of it and can use the extra time to get rest, to make sure that we're sleeping, that our nutrition is on point, that our conditioning is on point. You know, we have some guys that have been out and that we're as we get them back, that their conditioning is at a level that we expect it to be to allow them to play with the effort and finish that's expected of our football team. So I hope that it can be an advantage. I hope that it can help us if we take advantage and we do the right things.
Terry?
Mike, when you play a team that's playing on a Monday night, like the Dolphins are tonight, do you take the time and watch that game, or do you just wait and dissect the coach's tape?
I mean, I'm sure it'll be on, but we'll take a look at it. And Terry, I think you probably have to change your fire alarm battery. I think I heard it beep. It's just so amazing. But you know, a lot of that'll be done. You know what I mean? A lot of that stuff will be done and we'll have watched them, and then we'll try to add in anything that shows up tonight.
Jim?
And Mike, I know you mentioned the health of the families most important with your guys on the COVID list, but what are the guys able to do while they're out? So when they are cleared, they'll be able to hit the ground running. Is that watching film? Are they able to be in on meetings? What can they do at this point?
Yeah, so they check in with the trainer in the morning. They call in, check in. There's a testing cadence, Jim, that's, you know, I think that they have to do. They pull up and they test. They stay in their car and they're tested, and then they leave and go home. They Zoom meet. They Zoom meet in all three phases. And then, you know, the ones that are having no symptoms, you know, I think that they're starting to try to do some working out, or based on how they feel, you know, trying to do some things that would, you know, normally help them and get them up and moving around.
Paul?
How much, if you don't have that line together, Mike, on a Wednesday, does it set you back?
We'll just try to plan for the guys that we have, and then as guys continue to get added back into it, and we'll see where they fit. You know, our job is to have, you know, eight guys ready for the game, just like we did last Thursday.
Teresa?
Mike, I'm probably hitting my limit today with three questions, but anybody who's on the reserve, the injured reserve list, have a chance to possibly be activated to return to practice this week?
Not that I know of right now.
All right, Coach, I think that may be it.
Okay, guys, have a great day.
There you go. Mike Vrabel speaking with the media.
Well done, Teresa. I know what you're trying to do there. That was good. That was good. Didn't work, but it was good.
It's worth trying.
I like that.
We will come back and discuss some things that we heard from Mike Vrabel, and that was sponsored by Tire Man. Tire Man for all your company tire needs, construction, equipment, or fleet maintenance. You can give them a call at 615-663-6040. But first, Willie has a word about Lee Company.
Okay, the reality is coming back now. The routine will be back in your life here very soon. We're in those fun days between Christmas and New Year's. But if there are some projects for 2022 you're looking to get settled, maybe some nagging maintenance problems, maybe you need to address your heating unit before it really starts getting cold on a regular basis, maybe it's a home renovation project that you wanted to spring on your group for the holiday, and you want to put that plan into action. All of these things are under the umbrella of Lee Company. They can help you with all of it. 615-567-1000. Call up, tell them what you got going for 2022, and let them help you, whether it be the home maintenance plan, where you get their year-round coverage of your heating, cooling, electrical, and plumbing systems, or it's general maintenance at your home or at your business, or that home renovation project. Any of the above, they're ready to help you. Also, they're a huge sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. Hopefully the Predators get back to it this week. That will be fun after this little layoff that they've got. So, to contact Lee Company, 615-567-1000, or go online at leecompany.com and let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Don't forget you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase live from the Hillside Medical Games Studio. Also, we are presented by Creation CBD, products curated for life. Something that stood out to me, we always try to read into Mike Vrabel's words or body language. It didn't seem over the top glowing about Bud Dupree. At least that was my takeaway. You know, sometimes he goes out of his way to really compliment someone. And then there's other times it's like, didn't feel like he – I don't know. I don't know. It was kind of lukewarm on him talking about Bud Dupree. He didn't seem to be as enthused about Bud Dupree's return to play and what he's been doing as maybe we've been talking about on the show or other shows have been talking about. At least that was my vibe.
I think he's trying to temper expectations. I also feel like he believes Bud Dupree can be even better the more he plays.
Yeah.
So I heard what you heard. There's no question. There wasn't a glowing thing, but I think you have to be happy with the trend that you're seeing. He's at least, like you like to say, Darren, he's showing up. He's noticeable on the field now. He's coming off the ball quick. He's attracting attention, and it's helping get that chemistry back in that front four. And so I think that's something that can be really, really important down the stretch here. Because, like we said before, you're in a position now where you have a defense that can win you a game against a good team. That was not the case last year.
He's definitely visible. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you see 48 out there.
Well, and I think, you know, what we were talking about with Julio, you see more so with Bud Dupree. I think the rest of the front seven's even better when he's out there, even if he's not the one making the impact.
You have to account for him. And now,
so I think that's made a difference.
Now you're accounting for him, and he's actually chipping in with a big play here and there.
Yeah, I feel like, and I mean, obviously a lot has to play out. I feel like in the long run, you're going to see the return on investment with him. That's going to turn out to be a good signing. I think it's well documented. He said it, that he tried to come back too quick from the injury, and that's obviously set him back and had a big impact on this year. But I just feel like overall that's going to turn out to be a good signing. I hope so, because they spent a lot of money on him. But I think you're down the stretch, and, I mean, this is what we've been talking about. You get Bud Dupree back and healthy as you can be this point of the year. A.J. Brown, maybe Derrick Henry, some of the other guys, David Long would be nice, that have been banged up. You know, you're getting all your horses in the stable at the right time. So what can they do with it?
They've been pretty lucky. As much as shuffling as they've had to do, for the most part, if you've noticed, when we talk about these guys, we're not talking about season ending. Like a lot of teams are dealing with, the reality is, you know, Tampa's not getting Chris Godwin back. Like, he's gone. Like, he's lost for the season. And others have had to experience gone, lost for the season. They are not coming back, where we don't know if David Long is coming back. We don't know if Derrick Henry is coming back. We can hope and we think they're coming back. But that at least that's a better place to be, right? At least to have hope. To hold out hope rather than to know that, hey, they've been shut down. Like, they're not coming back. Their season is over. And a lot of teams are dealing with that, where the Titans, at least while they've had to do tons of shuffling, and whether it's COVID or injuries, at least there's hope. I mean, I don't have any clue if Roger Saffold is, you know, my guess is he'll be back out there. But, I mean, how effective can he be? It's very clear he's playing hurt. It's very clear Taylor Lewan, when he's out there, is playing hurt, right? I mean, the Pittsburgh game, he could barely move. Watch him go back to the huddle. He looked like me sometimes, trying to get out of bed. I mean, just hobbling around, like just everything. The back is by the knees. I mean, he just looked like a guy who was, you know, 60 years old out there trying to just get back to the huddle.
I think that's a big thing to watch. The fact that they won that game without those two was a big bonus. You had to admire what the Colts were able to do without four-fifths of their offensive line, winning in Arizona. That was pretty admirable. But now that you've gotten through it, and the game was on Thursday, let's keep fingers crossed. Taylor Lewan, he tweeted out that he's completely asymptomatic. I would think that there's the timetable exists in the protocols to test your way out by the time they take the field again. And they do have the luxury, and we talked about this in terms of Derrick Henry, but I've brought this up in general. They have a 99% chance of making the playoffs. Now, what you're hoping with a couple of wins here, you could still have everything fall right and you get a bye. that they have that. But also, if I knew I could wait an extra week and it would make a difference, we don't know. I don't know the extent of Taylor Lewan's back. A back can be really bulky, right? You can feel pretty good, and then all of a sudden it comes back. It flares up on you, and you got all kinds of problems. The back affects your whole body. But if I could wait an extra week and have him rested up as much as you can be at this time of year, same thing with Saffold. I know it's the shoulder every week. He was ready to play, and then the COVID hit, but they get the bonus of he gets an extra bye week here. But going to what your initial theme was, Darren, you have to hope that you're peaking at the right time, that you get a little lucky and that you have all your pieces or as many pieces as you can possibly have for the playoff run, because it's a whole new season at that point. You could have a great regular season, then lose everybody at the wrong time, and your whole season is shot. Yeah. But they still have a chance to have almost all of the pieces back when it really counts.
Yeah, there's a chance, and that's the department you want to be in, not the, yeah, they're not coming back department, right? Their season is over. They are shut down. You don't know, but at least there's hope. At least there's a chance, as they say. So you're saying there's a chance. Robbie and Joe asked me this morning if Derrick Henry was available for, let's just go with the last game of the regular season, was available to return. Or I guess if you want to throw in this Sunday, I don't believe anybody truly believes that's realistic. Would you play him in any regular season game, or would you wait until the playoffs if indeed he has the opportunity to come back? How would you guys answer that?
I say the same thing as I said last week. I believe that there's a big upside in playing him if he is cleared to play medically. Now, Teresa did ask the question in general, and Mike Vrabel did say he does not anticipate anybody that's on the injured reserve list to come off of it this week. So
I knew why she – we all knew why she was asking it.
No question. Teresa was smart on how she asked it. And I don't think this week was really in play by anybody that's been speculating. No. But there still continues to be a lot of heavy speculation that next week is the week. So let's just go on that hypothetical for now. You're going to have something to play for, and it could be the one seed. I think regardless of what the scenario is, you're going to either – I don't think the Colts are going to lose again. So you may have to win that game to win the division. You might want to win that game to move your seed up from a 3-2, or maybe even a 2-1, or have a chance to do that. My thinking is simply that if Derrick Henry is ready to play medically, all the doctors say he's good to go, then I think there's a benefit for him playing some, even if it's not the full load. I'm not saying turn and hand it to him 30 times, but I'm saying give him a chance to get hit, chance to get in the rhythm of a game, break a sweat. I think that would be something that could make a difference the following week in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm hesitant. I mean, I've been saying don't play him, even if you do have something to play for. But, everything you read, everything you hear, I know Tom Pelissero was on Good Morning Football this morning and said he's on track for Week 18. If they feel like it he's good to go and it's not going to hurt anything any further, then okay. But I don't see it necessary, even though you're right, Willie. They probably are going to be playing for something against the Texans in Week 18.
Are they? What are they going to be playing for?
A higher seed.
A higher seed to win the division. The Colts are not going to lose again.
So you're playing him for a 2 seed or a 3 seed? You're playing him?
I'm playing him, yes.
Okay. 3 seed or 4 seed, you're playing him?
Yes. Okay. I am. That's just me. Because also remember this, guys.
The 2 maybe, but below that, no. Here, the division, yeah. I mean, if the division's still on the line, then okay.
Well, then you're losing on Sunday if the division is on the line. You've lost on Sunday and the Colts have won.
That's true, yeah. Because if they win,
I believe they're going to need to win that game to win the division. I could be wrong, but
so you think they're losing Sunday?
Yeah, he's right. He is right about that because of the tiebreaker. If they win Sunday, no matter what happens, the Titans win the division.
No, you're right. You're right. Okay, so beat the Dolphins. Yeah, you may not have to.
If Arizona wasn't going the wrong direction, the division could already be over. if they would have taken care of business on Sunday or Saturday.
Yeah, here's the thing about the one seed, though. You say the Colts aren't going to lose again. I don't think the Chiefs are going to lose again.
Well, I don't know. They got a tricky game this week. They got the Bengals, and, you know, I get it. We're caught up. You know, Joe Burrow is not going to duplicate what he just did, but he just threw for 525 yards. I mean, he lit up the
good?
Ravens.
That
is, it's not
tell
bad.
You what, if you had him in fantasy, you know how good it is. And I don't know who had him in their fantasy playoffs, but if you had him, congratulations, you won.
Mm. I also think we need to enter this into the discussion, and it's obvious. But there is a huge X factor, and that is who turns up positive on the COVID list for all these teams. It is going to throw a wrench into this for the next 2 weeks. You can bet on it. You don't know who it's going to be, but it will be somebody for probably every team.
Are you saying if Foreman and Hilliard pop up on the list, then go ahead and book it that Derek's going to play?
No, I'm just saying that your roster could be such where you're thinking, man, I might need Derrick Henry. I need everything I can get to win this game. You saw Houston with all kinds of guys on the COVID list, including their best receiver in Brandon Cooks. He didn't even play. And they rolled up 40 on the Chargers because the Chargers had, what, 6, 8, 10 guys on the list as well. It changes the whole roster. So the way teams adapt to this is everything.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
I think it's
we're seeing it every day. You look at the round of NHL players today.
Marc-Andre Fleury.
Everybody just got back yesterday. All the teams are reporting in. Here's who's tested positive. It's not going to be any different for the NFL, protocols or not.
Yeah, no, I think that's certainly a factor. But, you know, I don't know if they care about this or he cares about this. He's, I think, what, 63 yards from 1,000? That, you know, that's always a, you know, a nice point for a running back.
That's not why I would do it.
No, I wouldn't
I don't know if that factors in or not. I just think that there's a benefit. If I'm Derrick Henry, I want to play a game.
Yeah.
I want to play a game to get in the flow. Get my rhythm back. Get in the rhythm with the offensive line.
But you don't need to. Like, at the same time.
You don't
want
have to.
That's what I'm saying. You can want to, but you don't have to.
Like, but is he healthy or not?
He doesn't have to do that.
Is he healthy or not? If there's any question that he's healthy, then, yeah, wait. But if he's cleared to play and he's healthy and he gets the green light, I'm putting him in. Now, that's just me.
Now, I would have him on a pitch count. If he plays, I'd have him on a pitch count.
I wouldn't give him 30 carries.
I wouldn't give him 20.
Well, what are you trying to accomplish? What are you giving him? 10?
Well, it depends 10, on how the game goes.
Yeah.
Last year,
10 to 15.
Last year, I was hoping they didn't have to give him the ball very much, but he had to have a huge game just for them to win the game
right. And
win the division.
No.
So crazy
well,
stuff happened
about getting 2,000 yards. That was kind of a big deal too.
Well, they needed to give him the ball to get the 2,000, but also to win the game.
But here's the thing. Giving him the ball to get 2,000 yards hurt him the next week because he wasn't the same against Baltimore. So, at least,
know.
I mean,
do
at
we,
the very
do
least
we really think that was the case, that he was tired for the Baltimore game?
I thought he was tired.
I don't know about that.
No, I'm not sure I'm willing to go there. Yes, he wasn't the same. But, I mean, at some point, you got to give Baltimore credit for doing their job.
Oh, I'll give him credit, but you can't tell me that, you know, he gets 370s, what you always talked about. He gets over that threshold, and I can't remember how many carries he had against Houston, but it was a lot.
It was a lot.
2,000.
But they needed him to win the game.
I understand.
I think the 370 has a bitter, you know, no way to ever prove it, but the 370 I do think contributed to the stress that led to the injury this year. But there's nothing you can do about that now.
How did you answer it, Darren?
I said no. I don't believe they're going to be playing for a one seed. That would change my mind because I do think the one seed is extremely valuable. Kansas City does not have – like Indianapolis, what Willie said is true. Like they're not losing. They've got the schedule that is set up for them to win out. But it doesn't matter. Like the Titans are still going to win the division. But that one seed, you could say, well, Kansas City is probably – and they probably are still – but the Titans do hold the tiebreaker, mm-hmm. right, because they've beaten the Chiefs. And the Chiefs do have two road games at Cincinnati, at Denver. That is not a cakewalk. Like the Jags, one of the games the Colts have is the Jags. Like the Jags and the Raiders, and I get it, the Raiders are still playing for something. could still be a little bit tricky, but overall, like, that's not a really scary game. At Cincinnati, at Denver, I mean, there could be a loss in there.
Yeah.
There absolutely could be a loss in there. And if the Titans went out, they hold the tiebreaker. And so the one seed is in play, and if that is the case, then I change my mind. I'm going for it, but I also say, man, you got to be able to beat the Texans without Derrick Henry. So I'm going to stick with my answer. My answer was no. No, you don't play him, because what? Just give him another week. And, oh, by the way, if you were able to get the one seed, you've now given him two more weeks to make sure everything is hunky-dory on his end. So you got to be able to beat the Texans.
Yeah.
After you've already lost to them once, you got to be able to beat them without Derrick Henry. So my answer is no.
I'm with you. The way you've explained it, the way I was explaining it, my answer is no. Like, if I'm going straight yes or no, it's no. But the points you laid out are certainly, if you're playing for one seed, if a division, those things are in play. But I would prefer not to play him.
I mean, I wouldn't be screaming from the mountaintops if they played him, if there was a one seed on the line. Like, I get it. I'm just saying, like, to me, you just got to dig deep. And, look, you've been doing all this without him, and you've had some really nice wins without him. Like, you can't find a way to beat Houston. I know they've won two in a row, and they just beat the Chargers. I get it. Davis Mills is the next coming. Not really. You got to find a way to beat the Texans.
Yeah.
Without him. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Now,
why would you assume that it would be so easy when they've lost to the Steelers, they've lost to the Texans, they've lost to the Jets? It's not a gimme anybody they play.
Well, because a lot's on the line, and you should be able to get up to beat them when you've already lost to them, and there's that on the line.
Yeah,
you should be able to play well enough to beat them.
You should, but I think if, once again, my caveat is, if he is cleared 100% to play, then I say he plays. Especially if there's something to play for. If there's absolutely nothing to play for, then you got to think about it. But I still think there's a benefit of having him in there in a game situation just to get a few carries. But I do think they will very likely go into that game with something to play for. Would you rather go to Buffalo, or would you rather have Buffalo come here?
Well, I'd rather have them come here.
We all know that answer.
So I'm saying, it's when you say, hey, 3-2, 4-3, that's a difference. That's a big difference.
So answer this real quick, Darren. You said what you would do. What do you think they will do? Because I think they're two different
answers. It's hard to answer because I none of us have any clue where is Derrick Henry? What is his progress? What is he today? Is he, you know, none of us know. I mean, I have no way of knowing where he's at, right? Where is he in his rehab?
All we know is that there are a lot of national people hinting that next week is the week. That's what we're basing this discussion
Correct.
On. That's all we can. Because none of us are there.
And so if next week is the week, then we've been answering it. I mean, that's what's happened? What's on the line? Did they beat the Dolphins? Did they win the division? Did Kansas City lose to Cincinnati? I mean, there's a lot of – let's have this discussion on Monday of next week and find out where they are. Because to me, that does play into this, even though I said my answer is no, I don't play. But – I'm also not going to scream from the mountaintops if there's something really critical on the line and he's been cleared and they're like, hey, he's ready to go.
Well, and I also think you're not going to be surprised. Like, just knowing them, if they play him and with everything that has been reported, I mean, I think we'll all sit here and go, okay. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I'm not surprised. That's kind of and again, you're right. We don't know.
Let me throw this at you guys just to ponder. If you deactivate him, he could play, but he is deactivated and you lose to the Texans. How would you feel? You had him, but you didn't use him. And you're in the playoffs, but your seed drops.
Part of it.
You get what you get. If you couldn't beat the Texans with all that on the line and you got swept by the Texans this year, then you get what you get.
Okay.
Deal with it. I mean, that's on you. That's what I would say. That's on you.
My retort would only be that I've watched a lot of games this year. There have been a lot of mystifying losses by good teams losing to really bad teams.
Sure. No doubt.
So if you got them, use them. If he's cleared.
On our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
I 100% agree with Willie's premise about playing him if he's cleared to play. Are y'all making the assumption that if he's cleared to play that he's going to come back at 100% cardio, physical, everything, he's going to be at 100%?
Well, he is a freak, so I would say there's a chance of it. He's different than everybody else.
My thing is he's not – I don't care what they're playing for. I mean, obviously they're playing going to be playing for something, but I don't care what they're playing for. I want him to play just to get that first game, 10, 12, 15, whatever carries, just to get – I don't think he's going to help them win the first time he comes back. So I don't think that's a – I don't think that's a part of this equation. I just think he's going to come back. He's going to get some rust off of him. He's going to see how it feels. Then he's going to recover that week, and he's going to be good.
Well, Nate, if what you're saying is in play, then I definitely – my answer is no. If you're saying, well, Derrick Henry's not going to help you, then I'm definitely not playing him. But I don't believe anytime 22 is out there, he always is going to be able to help you. Always.
Well, but the first game he's back, what I'm saying, he's not going to be – that Derrick Henry. He's just not
why?
Yeah. That.
Why can't he?
Rust.
Why can't he be?
Rusty.
Rusty?
Yeah.
So? He's Derrick Henry, man. Let's not compare him to everybody else.
There's only one way to work the rust off, and that's the play. I'm in agreement with Nate on that. That's part of my reasoning why I think it'd be worth playing him. If he's good to go, either the foot's going to hold up or it's not. Once he's cleared. Yep. You can wait as long as you want, but we're only going to find out when he starts playing. But I do think movement, rust, cutting, rhythm with your line in the offense, I think there's something to be said for that. To work the rust off in the first game rather than that be a playoff game.
But I think rust to him is completely different from a normal running back.
How do we know? He's never come back from a two-month injury before.
Fair.
He's never been injured
in
his life.
But, I mean, he'd come off of off seasons and not had rust. So
with a whole training camp and all that.
And he was playing in a sand pit. That's what he was doing for most of training camp.
Look, I have a lot of confidence in him. It's a good. These are all good questions, and there's no right answer or wrong answer.
Yeah, I just you guys know how I feel. I just don't compare elite athletes to everybody else, and I don't buy that Derrick Henry has rust. I mean, Derrick Henry's different, man. He's a different cat, different animal. I think if you give Derrick Henry the ball, he goes out there and he's been cleared and he looks like Derrick Henry of old. I'm not looking for him to go 2 yards and fall down. I'm not looking for him to go 14 carries for 24 yards. Why? That's saying Derrick Henry's like everybody else, and he's not. I expect Derrick Henry to go out there and be Derrick Henry if he's going to be on the field. Well, why? I don't care if he's been out 2 months. Derrick Henry gets 14 carries. I expect 14 carries for 96 yards. That's Derrick Henry. I don't compare him to everybody else because he's elite. He's a freak. He's not everybody else. He's the best running back in the league. And yes, he's better than Jonathan Taylor. And I know Jonathan Taylor's had a great season. Dalvin Cook's really good too. But he's the best running back in the league. So I don't compare him to everybody else. I say if he's out there playing, he better be helping your team win. Because to me, then I'm getting concerned. Why is Derrick Henry out there and he looks slow? Doesn't look like himself. That would concern me going into the playoffs. Nate said, well, yeah, I'm not looking for him to help the team win. Just want him to get the rust off. Well, I'm concerned now. Why did Derrick Henry go 14 carries for 29 yards?
Right.
I don't want to see that.
No, nobody does.
Because now I'm going, oh, is this injury affected him? Like, now he looks like 80% of the running backs in the league. Looks like a jag. Just another guy. Like, I don't want to see that. If Derrick Henry's out there, man, I want to see Derrick Henry doing what he does. And I don't see why there's any reason why he can't. I don't look at it that way. But only time will tell. We're about to find out what happens. We'll come back. You need to tell us what you know. We've got Dirks Bentley tickets on the line at Bridgestone Arena on February 25th. But you need to call in and tell us what you know. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com. We'll come back and wrap up hour number two with that next. We do. What do you know? It's wide open. Take it however you want. It's a blank canvas. Just tell us what you know. The best one, win a pair of tickets to see Dierks Bentley at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, February 25th. But you have to call in and participate. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Anybody want to start? You want me to start?
Start it up.
Okay. All right. Not everybody at once. This is what I know. The Arizona Cardinals, to quote an old movie, an 80s movie, an oldie but a goodie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you're going the wrong way. You're going to kill someone. And they remind me a lot of the Pittsburgh Steelers of last year. Remember when the Steelers were 11-0? And then all I did talk to them, talking about them down the stretch was all their flaws and their warts and how they were going the wrong way. Arizona didn't get off to an 11-0 start. They got off to a 7-0 start. And they have gone downhill, and they've been going the wrong way since then. That's what I know. Arizona reminds me of Pittsburgh of last year. They're going the wrong way, and I don't think they're going to be a threat in the NFC. They just look like a shell of themselves. Maybe they get DeAndre Hopkins back. Maybe. I think J.J. Watt's, he's done, right? He's out.
Yeah, he's done for
just,
here.
They just don't, they're just something off. Kyler Murray's body language sucks. It's awful. I just, for a team to start off 7-0, they're 10-5, and they're going the wrong direction.
They put no fear into you at all.
Mm-mm.
Like, I look at the NFC, Packers, obviously, they scare you. The Rams, I think, scare you. The Cowboys, I think, scare you. If they can be
much
consistent.
Much more than that team. The Rams, yeah. Much more than
oh,
that
yeah.
team.
Yeah, definitely.
That team has become just a jag. They're just another team in the NFC.
And I think when you take weapons one by one away, you just mentioned Watt and Hopkins and now Connor, they become yep. a little bit more ordinary, and it exposes what has been said about Kingsbury the whole time. He's not mm-hmm. a really good game coach. They make yep. dumb mistakes.
True. That's very true.
A lot.
Of course, he doesn't control their kicker, who could hit anything on Saturday, but Matt Prater. But, yeah. That's true, though, Willie. I mean, I agree. You watch and you're like, gosh, they don't look like a extremely well-coached team.
Very, very untimely penalties,
mm-hmm.
poor challenge. Like, they yes. challenge the play. Like, why in the world would you yep. challenge that? There's no reason. There's no upside, even if you get it. And it was pretty obvious that they were going to lose the challenge.
Yep.
Just wasted it.
100% agree.
So, clock management, we've seen that crop up several times. So I agree with you. I think they're in trouble. I said it last week. Fade.
Yeah, well, we all three faded them. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but only one of us picked the Colts yeah, in yeah. the
go ahead. By the way, shelf. I had Arizona the lowest. I had 7. You guys had them at 6. I had them 7.
Colts top week. Shelf. Hello.
Yeah, that's what he's taking his victory yeah. lap. That's yeah. what he's
I've been waiting for.
Just throwing it
in. He tried to he's sneak it in to. Earlier. Did you notice that? He snuck it in, but he didn't go there. But now he finally went there.
Yeah, I'm going there. We'll reconvene on Friday.
We'll
live it up again.
We'll reconvene about my 10th team. You know, when we do our rankings again.
This is what tonight. I know. Quick one. A little shout out to the Commodores, a nice win in Hawaii against BYU, a team that was anywhere between 12 and 22, depending on what rankings you were looking at. It's a team that's pretty good. You can argue that is one of the more important wins Jerry Stackhouse has gotten since he's been the coach. It's not saying much, but for a team that even I watched them the night before, they still – I'm not sure who the main, other than Scottie Pippen, you know, where are the roles? Who plays what minutes? Who are the key guys? It's different guys, different nights. That was a big confidence boost for them. And I'm hoping it's unfortunate the championship game.
Why did they get declared the champs, by the way? Because
Stanford was the one
had
that
the
had
issues?
The problems. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, I don't know what that's worth. It's not worth a yeah. win. You don't get a win
right.
for it.
I know,
so
it's kind of silly.
Whether you got it or not, I guess they can bring the trophy home, but hopefully that leads to good things in the conference. There's still the big man that hasn't played all year long. I'm curious to what he brings to the table, but I'm hoping this is a nice move in the right direction. It would be nice to have a competitive year in the SEC. He needs it bad.
There you go. This is what I know. A new rule that's been put in place in the NFL starting today, teams can actually interview assistants for a head coaching vacancy. So
what a concept.
How about
what
that?
What a concept.
So that means that you could see some changes earlier than usual. We always call it Black Monday, the day after the regular season ends, but you could see teams make moves. The Bears have not made an in-season coaching change ever in their organization. So don't know about that one, but Matt Rhule's name is one that's been floated out there that he could be on the chopping block. So I find that to be an interesting rule change. So we'll see if anything happens there. And then a quick one. At 91 years old, Martha Earnhardt, the mother of Dale Earnhardt Sr., passed away Christmas night. So sad news there.
All right, 615-737. I had not heard that. 1025 is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dirk Bentley tickets to Bridgestone Arena Friday, February 25th. On the line, but you got to tell us what you know. Let's go to Doug. Doug, what do you know?
So I hope you guys had a Merry Christmas, and I've got something that I know both of us know. We had two local Tennessee teams in Hawaii. One got to play and one didn't. This is what I know. Although the Hawaii Bowl got canceled, I hope those Memphis teams got a chance to let their hair down while they were in Hawaii. That's what I know should have happened.
Yeah. All right. You're already out there, so.
Yeah, you got your trophy. I mean, you had a 6-6 season. What I know is those guys should have got a chance to let their hair down. That far away from home, never to ever get a chance to be there again. Let them enjoy. It's Hawaii, man.
Live it up.
Yeah, who's going to argue with that? Thank you, Doug.
I am scared to death that the national champion is going to be crowned via a forfeit. Because
well, I don't
rules.
Know if you've noticed, but I saw Alabama and I saw Georgia and I think it may be all of them. They've all shut down there's nobody's available for media's. They've closed all their practices. They've closed everything.
Because now if you test positive from here forward, I don't think you can test your way back in unless it's a false positive. Right. You're in that window where last week at this time, you could maybe still timetable get back. But, are you keeping your guys in a cave? Or are you completely locking them down between? I mean, that might be the difference in having all your guys or not having all your guys. You just don't know what is going to happen. It's a tough call because people are so over this. They don't want to have to go back to what they did. But you got a very big game on New Year's Eve. It's a massive game. You play your whole life to get to this point. You just don't want to. I mean, can you imagine those players going in there and getting tested however often they're doing it? You're just holding your breath. You could be feeling fine, and you get positive.
Yep.
It's happening all around.
Let's go to Eric. Eric, what do you know?
This is what I know. Guys, first of all, I hope you had a Merry Christmas, and hope you have a Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Yesterday, interesting result, the Cincinnati Bengals against the Baltimore Ravens. And, of course, the Bengals win 41-21, and Joe Burrow has a record passing day by passing over 500 yards. Apparently, after the game, John Harbaugh had a little bit of a problem with what the Bengals were doing. Huh? This is the same coach that I remember blew out the Bengals last year, and if I'm not mistaken, earlier this season, he kept running the ball to keep a 100-yard rushing streak alive against the Denver Broncos. Vic Fangio didn't like it, and he says, well, we were just going for a record. The thing is this, I'd say the same thing to him as I said to other people. If you don't like it, stop it. You can't then be upset when you did something like that early in the year and then get on Cincinnati for doing that. What goes around comes around, and you got to man up and be a man and take it. So if you don't want it done to you, then don't do it to other teams. But if you're going to do that, it goes with the territory. You got to take the medicine. You got to take it as well as you can dish it out. Y'all take care.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Yeah, that's very true. And nobody's going to give John Harbaugh a shoulder to cry on. No one.
Nope.
What goes around comes around.
Exactly.
Yep. No doubt about it. All right, we'll come back. We will not head east because Vinny is here. He is here in Music City, USA. We'll talk about this bowl game on Thursday between Tennessee and Purdue, also Tennessee basketball. Everybody's getting into conference play, getting ready to get it all cranked up. But first I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Curation CBD. If you've got aches and pains on your body like me, whether it's because you're getting older or maybe it's because you're active or maybe your just body isn't cooperating at the present moment, well, if you're looking for that solution like me, I've got it. It's Curation CBD. Curation means healing, and that right there says a lot. Curation is locally and organically sourced CBD products from right here in Middle Tennessee, from seed to final sale. Curation is passionate about providing quality products for everyday use and for your pets, too. Yes, you've got the pet tincture. If you've got a pet with medical issues or anxiety issues, which a lot of people struggle with their pets, anxiety, whether it's thunderstorms or leaving the house, leaving them alone, well, they've got pet treats that can calm them down, and they've got the pet tincture works for that as well, and for the medical issues. You've heard me tell the story about our female German Shepherd who has seizures, and that has been a life changer for her and for us. Listen up. Right now, if you go and buy something at creationcompany.com, that is their website, whether it's for you or for your pets or for both, make sure to use this code on the way out at checkout, DDC25, Darren Dunnick Chase 25. What does that do for you? Get you 25% off your order. So when you're on the website, creationcompany.com, you're checking out, pump in that code DDC25, and you'll get 25% off your checkout. It's Creation CBD, curated for life.